This morning, we're headed back into our study on angels, and I wanted to stop again and just remind you why we're doing this study and this sermon series on angels, because some people may think, you know what, angels are just not for today, preacher. There we go. It did come back on, and you know, there may be some who think, you know, maybe we're not supposed to be studying angels. Maybe that's not where we're supposed to be. But did you know that the Bible tells us that not only are there angels, there are two kinds of angels, right? There are God's angels and there are hell's angels. And these angels are both about the business of their director. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible says that demonic activity is going to increase the closer and closer that we get to the end of days? Did you know that? Do you believe that there's going to be an end of days? This means yes, this means no. Do you believe? Do you believe that the demonic activity is going to increase? I mean, God's word indicates that. Well, let me tell you, if hell's angels are going to be more active, will not Almighty God also increase the activity of his angels to counteract that? So I'm going to say that I believe that angels are not only active and not only are they busy, but I believe that they're getting busier every day because we can see end times coming, can we not? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the scripture tells us that his angels are sent to help believers. Let me just share that very quickly with you. That verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, are they not all ministering angels? It's speaking about the spirits and the angels. He says, you know, none of them are going to be sitting at his right hand. That's reserved for one person, Jesus Christ. Amen. But he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So folks, I'm going to ask you, according to this scripture and every scripture that you've ever found, have you ever found that angels are there to assist and minister the world? No. Who are they sent to minister to? God's children, believers. And who are they sent from? God. Folks, let's just get that established right up front. Listen, God's word tells us there that his angels are sent to help believers. And if his angels are sent to help believers, I got to tell you, I want all the help that God wants and will send to me. I hope you want the same. Because you see, God's word says that I need help battling the agents of darkness. He says, you don't battle against flesh and blood. You battle against the principalities of darkness. And listen, when I start battling against those kinds of things, I need God's help. And I want all of God's help. Angels these days, as they have been for quite a while, are very popular subjects. But let me start this morning with some warnings, if you will. So I want to share these things, some things with you. There is some ridiculous stuff out there about angels. Have any of you done any kind of reading or research since we began this series or even before we began this series about some stuff that's out there about angels? Anybody? If you have, you know this. There's some crazy stuff. I mean, there is some weird stuff. So with that thought, not only is there some ridiculous stuff, but much of it is dangerous and even evil. You better make sure where you're getting your information from. Hello? Don't just go out there and take anything from anybody about angels and about who they are and what they do. You'd better be very careful where you get your information. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says that there are those who have a form of godliness but deny its power, and from such people turn away. Listen, there's a lot of people out there who have a form of godliness, right? Hey, they talk a good talk. Hey, they can argue a good argument, but when it comes right down to it, they are not listening to the word of God. They're not obedient to the word of God. They just have a form of godliness. I want you to understand this. Not only should we be careful where we're getting our information, but there are indeed, according to God's word that we have read and shared together, there are millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of angels. Do you remember how many we said there were? Innumerable. We came to the point where he got to the point of 100 million, and then he said times thousands and thousands. And then he got to another place, he said they're innumerable. You can't count them all. Well, I went to the internet, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to see what's out there. I don't suggest this, but I do this as a matter of warning for you. But I found an article, and this article has a form of godliness. It has a form of truth. And I'm going to tell you, do you know what the most dangerous lie is? Is a half-truth. Because it'll suck you in thinking, you know, that sounds good. That sounds logical. But I'm going to tell you that this following article has a form of godliness, but it's full of lies. If you want the true scoop, if you want the real scoop about angels and who they are and what they are, I'm going to tell you there is one place to go. You go to God's Word. And if it matches up with God's Word, and it matches up with God's Word in every area, I'm going to tell you, you can feel comfortable then that you probably had an encounter with an angel. Now, nobody's asked me, not one person has ever asked me, as far as I know since I started this, have you ever seen an angel? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know that I have. I don't know that I have not, because you see, the Bible tells us that they don't reveal themselves, that they're normally and usually invisible unless they have a reason to be revealed. So I'm going to tell you what I do know is this. God's Word talks about angels, and when I went to the internet, there's a lot of people out there who are believing in them. I did a search, and I came up with the very first thing I found was an article called Seven Things You Should Know About Guardian Angels. Now, the lady who wrote this article said seven things. And in her article about seven things, this Miss Richards, she outlined eight things. Seven things, and there's eight highly focused areas. And they were logical. Some of them were very desirable. Are you with me? Some of them were very desirable. Kind of like you'd want to go, yeah, that's what I want my guardian angel to do. Are you with me? But although some of them were logical and some of them desirable, some had biblical facts in them, but every one of them had false statements as well. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I just want to share some of them that you're going to go, really? She said, guardian angels are non-denominational. Can you believe that? I thought Baptists had a monopoly on all angels. Does anybody really think that? Listen, if you're a Baptist and you think you've got a monopoly on God, can I tell you something? Not, right? It's a theological, doctrinal stance, okay? Not a monopoly on the Lord God, amen? So she said, but angels are non-denominational. All faiths, no faiths, and atheists can have guardian angels. Let me tell you right off the top, does that sound biblical to you? Not at all. She says, angels are not just for Christians. They work with people of all faiths. They are, she said, this is hers, not me. Remember, understand, this is what she said. We are powerful spirit beings given free will by the Spirit. Angels normally respect our free will choices to believe about this life and navigate it how we see fit. God's Word tells me that our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Do you really think He wants us to live life as we see fit? As long as someone's beliefs are not hurting themselves or anyone else, angels respect your beliefs and urge you to do the same. If that is not straight from the pits of you know where, I don't know where it's from. Oh, as long as you're not hurting yourself, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, and they encourage you to do the same. You just get along with everybody and just condone everybody's belief. Listen, I do not condone people's belief, not because I don't like them. I don't want them to go to hell. Hello? I love them. I care about people. I don't want them to be lied to and to spend an eternity separated from God. I want them to know the Lord Jesus. That's why I share with them the error of their thoughts, and I go right to the Word of God. That was number one. Number four in her argument is, guardian angels choose you. She said, according to hers, they choose you like puppies at the pet store. I debated whether to share this stuff with you, but it was just too good to pass up. Did you know that the angel hosts of God belong to the Almighty God? And they don't do what they want to do. They do what their heavenly Father commands them to do. They don't do your bidding. They don't do my bidding. They do only God's bidding. And number 8 of the 7 of the article was they want you, guardian angels want you to communicate with them. A lie of the devil. This is a lie of the devil. She said, simply spend a little time acknowledging them and you'll become very good friends. Another lie. That's not how God's angelic hosts work. This is why I brought some of these thoughts to you, because I want you to understand the biblical principle is this. That's not how God's angelic host works. Every angel that belongs to God does not want you to commune with them. They want you to commune with God, not angels. You are not to pray to angels. You are not to call out for angels. You're to call out for God. And if God should so decide that he wants to dispatch an angel to your aid, that's his prerogative. And God's word even says that he does. Understand this. That is how Satan works. When they say that the angels want you to acknowledge them and talk to them and be your friend, that is how Satan works, absolutely and positively. They pretend to be your friend, your spirit. Let me ask you, how many have ever heard of a term called a spirit guide? Anybody? Raise your hands. Let me see your hands. Let me tell you, that is a danger deeper than I know how to say. Because, folks, what a spirit guide is a demon who wants to take you deeper and deeper into untruth and death. Period. There are so many things out there that are so dangerous for you. They pretend to be your friend and spirit guide to the unknown, which is precisely why every believer, and I pray that every other person, but believers are certainly should know this, every believer should strictly avoid things like seances, Ouija boards, tarot cards, mediums, fortune tellers. All of these things may seem like very innocent fun, but I'm going to tell you, God's word says you better avoid them. He says that it is a condemning thing to take part of these things. Don't be a part of what Satan wants you to fall into. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15 says this. There are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Wait a minute. False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into what? Apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Folks, is this my word? This is God's word right there. If you're not following along with me, you certainly can. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From all I see and from all I read in the Bible, nowhere does it ever say that we need or should seek out angels. We are to seek out the Lord our God, and should he decide to do something, that is his call. And all God's people said, there we go. So let's get to this, and let's move on with this. Does God have angels for the purpose of guarding his children? I'm going to say with an emphatic answer, yes. Amen. Would you stand in honor of reading God's word? I want us to look at his word and what it says, because you see, we need to seek God in this. And there is a New Testament promise that says that those who believe in guardian angels may have a foot to stand on. Here we go. He said there in Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 through 3, which our brother read for us a little earlier. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you. And then we jump down to verse 10. Psalms 91, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands, whose hands? The angels, in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But I want you to notice this. Did it say anything about guardian angels in here? Did it? Notice it does say angels, plural. How many angels? Millions and millions and millions, and every one of them, in some form or fashion, are guardian angels. Folks, this is God's word. Father, would you help us not only to hear it, but to understand it? Deeper, Father, into the crevices of knowledge, would you help us with wisdom that we might not only know what your word says, but apply it properly, Lord? This is our need. Your word tells us we need to hear, and then we need to apply. God, we are so thankful that we have your instruction book. Would you help us in applying all to our hearts? In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? So, does God's angels have a purpose from God? And is that purpose from God guarding his children? The first answer that we have is yes. The Bible tells us that angels care for and protect God's people. Angels care for and protect God's people. Secondly, we ask again, does God have angels for the purpose of guarding his children? The answer is yes. Angels watch over God's people. They absolutely do. The New Testament teaches that angels are interested spectators and watch all that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "For I think that God has displayed us." Paul's going there and he says, "Hey, I think that God's been showing us off." But he says, "We have been made a spectacle to the world, to men, both to angels and to men." So folks, we have angels that are watching what we're doing. Do we not have the scripture that tells us that there is a great cloud of witnesses? We do. Do we not have a scripture that tells us there is a great cloud of witnesses? This is a whole lot like attending the Astros game last night. There wasn't a whole lot to cheer about, but let me tell you, I've looked at it from stem to stern, and although there's a lot of difficulties and trials in between, we win. Thank you. We win. Scripture tells us that angels watch over us. Does God have angels for the purpose of guarding his children? Again, yes. Angels absolutely intervene in the life of God's people. God's word says so. I am not going to tell you something unless I take it to the word of God. Do you realize that there are many biblical incidents that lead us to believe that angels have been personally involved with the children of God? Many scriptures. God sent his angel and delivered Daniel from the lions. Amen. Daniel chapter 6. He delivered the apostles out of prison, Acts chapter 5. He delivered Peter from prison, Acts chapter 12. God sent his angels to encourage Paul, Acts chapter 27. And this is just a few of many. Angels are there to help and encourage and to strengthen. The question is, I guess, do we have a guardian angel, a personal guardian angel that watches over us? And I know a lot of people are going, now I don't know. You know, there seems to be two verses in the Bible that indicate that there might be a personal guardian angel in the world today. And as I had completed this message and was getting ready, Patrick sent me a text message. Now, was it Christianity Today? No, it was the Gospel Coalition also put out a very similar article about the guardian angels. And I thought, well, that's pretty timely. I went through it and they were right on. I can say that they did okay. They did all right on their article. So according to my study anyway. So the scripture tells us that there seems to be just two verses that indicate that there might be personal guardian angels. First of all, Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 seems to be the number one quoted verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. In that scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So he said, their angels. Jesus called these particular angels their angels. Whose angels? These children. Who are the children? Is he talking about little bitty ones? No, he's talking about new Christians. He's talking about babies in the Lord. He said, and he told them, he said, you better be careful about deceiving my new children and about lying to them. He said, you better be really careful. He said, because their angels stand before the Father. So apparently there are some angels assigned to stand ready before the Father at any moment to respond instantly to his command for protection and for care over these children. Does that sound right to you? Scriptural. Got to sound right to you. Acts chapter 12, if you recall, we talked about this a little bit in a sermon before. After Peter was released from jail, the scripture says that he was in jail. And you may recall that it was in the middle of the night and the angel woke him up very gently. And he woke him up, said he smote him in the side. He woke him up. Why? Because he was asleep. He woke him up, and he wakes him up, and he takes him out. He opens the gate. He opens the jail cell. He opens the outer gate. And about the time he gets out in the street, the angel is gone after he has awakened. And Peter realizes, hey, this wasn't a dream. I'm outside. God's angel delivered me outside. Do you remember that story? One of my favorite Bible stories. Now, it says that from there, he had to have somewhere to go, right? So what did he do? He went to Mary's house, which is where the Christians were gathered at the time, all those who were very close to Peter, and it says that they were having a prayer meeting. You remember? Do you know what they were praying about? Peter being delivered. Peter being turned loose. So Peter goes to the door, and they're having a prayer meeting about Peter being released, and Peter comes to the door. Young servant girl by the name of Rhoda comes to the door. She comes to the door, and of course, you know what she does. She says, "Who is it?" And Peter says, "It's me, Peter." She gets so excited, she leaves him standing out there, and she runs back into the prayer meeting, and she says, "Peter is here. Peter is here." And they said, "You're out of your mind." Gary Ladd translation. They said, "You're off your rocker, girl. Peter's not here." "No," she said, "I promise you, I heard his voice. I know he's out there. Peter is there." So they go and they take a look. They shut the door. Looks like Peter. Sounds like Peter. But that's not Peter. It must be his angel. Now, you understand this. Their belief was that every Christian person had their own angel, and that if God wanted to use them and they were going to be revealed, it would look like that person and it would sound like that person. So they think that Peter has been killed, and they think that this is Peter's angel who's come to tell them that, that he's dead. I'm not sure I'd have wanted to open the door either. But here they are. They're standing there, and then they finally let him in. They find out, hey, this really is Peter. So understand this. This is one of the passages that is used for people to say, oh, we each have our guardian angel. But remember this. That is a tradition type thing to say we think that's what it was. It didn't say it anywhere else in God's Word that God's Word has an angel that looks just like you and sounds like you. Amen? Doesn't say that. That was their traditional belief. They just thought that. If you want to depend on tradition, could I suggest to you very strongly that you make sure that it matches up right here? Traditions are great as long as they're biblical. And I love traditions. We have a family traditions. We have a lot of family, different family traditions. But you know, you may not find them in the Word of God. So I understand, you know, that when we cook ribs, somebody else may cook hamburgers. But our tradition is ribs at my house. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. But what I will tell you is this, be very careful that your beliefs, your traditions, and everything that surrounds them comes from God's Word. Now, they had this understanding that there were these two scriptures here, and they thought that perhaps that was Peter's angel. Throughout history, there have been many theologians that have believed in angels. But there is a split between the church fathers, if you will, and the theologians that have been out there. There's a split in their understanding. Some believe that there were guardian angels. Some don't believe that there were guardian angels. Thomas Aquinas, which I know most everybody has heard of, wrote much about angels. This early church father wrote a lot of material about angels. But he personally had a belief that a guardian angel was assigned to every person at birth. Now, if they were assigned to every person at birth, then you've got to wonder, okay, at what point do they become saved? And at what point do they get their angel? Well, I do believe this, that every person belongs to God until they come to the age of accountability. Now, that's something we can talk about another time, but perhaps that's where he was. He also believed that the mother's guardian angel took care of that baby while she carried it in the womb, so until that baby was born. There are many other theologians who are on the other side of that fence, and they don't believe in guardian angels. They think that these two verses are just not enough evidence to believe in guardian angels. One of those is a theologian by the name of John Calvin, and I love what he wrote in this. He said this, he says, whether or not each believer has a single angel assigned to him and to his defense, I dare not positively affirm. But this indeed I hold for certain. But all angels, with one consent, watch over our salvation. And if the fact that all the heavenly hosts are keeping watch for his safety will not satisfy a man, I do not see what benefit he could possibly derive from knowing that one angel has been given to him as a special guardian. If one is good, a million is better. That's what he's saying. You know what he's saying here? He's saying either way you believe, you win. If you want a personal guardian angel and it makes you feel better, wonderful. But the fact is that the scripture says that God's hosts of heaven guard and watch over you. Me, I know when I was a kid, I must have had 30, 40,000. I cannot tell you how many times my mother must have prayed and had them watching over me, because I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I was a bit mischievous, just a bit mischievous. You see, there are so many situations in the Bible where more than one angel were called into action for God's chosen, more than one. We get excited. We get so excited about each individual saint having their own guardian angel, and we're a little possessive and stingy that way, aren't we? We want our own angel. I don't want to rent one. Don't want to borrow one. I want my own angel. Listen, I don't know how many angels are in charge of taking care of you, but I do know this. Every one of them, according to God's word, is at God's call to do whatever is needed that God wants them to do for you. That is God's word. We have an understanding that there are many, many angels. The promise of Psalm 91 is that all God's angels rally for the protection of even one saint. Elisha, you remember Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Syrian army, and God and Elisha said, open his eyes, and as they were surrounded by an army of angels in protection. Several angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham. And when Jesus was confronted in the garden of Gethsemane with the most horrible and the most terrible and the deepest of pains and troubles in all of his physical life before the cross, it says that he went before the Lord, and as he prayed with great drops of blood flowing from his head from the tension and the pressure and the difficulty and the burden that he was carrying. And the scripture says that an angel came and tended to him. But he also says that when he was on the cross, do you not recall, or when he was in that garden, that when they tried to protect him, that Jesus said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels to come and protect me, and they would be here to rescue me just like that if all I had to do was call for them? Whether or not we have one angel specifically assigned to us, I don't know. I'm not particularly concerned about it. I'm happy with multiple. I'm happy with millions. I'm happy with what God prepares to do for me, because you see, I'm not calling out to his angels. I'm going to call out to God, the authority over all angels. What I do know is this, that God himself has placed angels in charge of my care, and that the testimony of the Bible gives us a number of examples of when angels might intervene in your life. And I just want to share those with you very quickly, just some thoughts here. Guardian angels. If we do have guardian angels, what do they do? God's word tells us. First of all, we've already seen that angels care for and protect God's people, right? We know it's for God's people. Secondly, angels watch over God's people. They're witnesses. And angels intervene in the lives of God's people. So we know each of things occurs. So in what situations might we expect them to do this? First of all, God tells us that we might be able to expect an angel in times of confusion because angels direct us. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13, Cornelius, a Gentile, is directed by an angel to send for Peter. He's confused about what's going on with the gospel, and he's calling out to God, God, you've got to help me understand this. I don't understand what this is all about. Why can't I be a part of it, et cetera, et cetera. And he sends for Peter, and the angel tells him, he says, send for Peter, and he will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved. So he sends for Peter. He follows the instruction of the angel. So God dispatched an angel then to show Peter and all the Jews that Jesus wasn't just for the Jews, he was for the Gentiles as well. And all of us Gentiles say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. So in times of confusion, he might dispatch an angel to direct us. In times of crisis, the scripture says that angels strengthen us. You recall that I told you just a moment ago as Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, great drops of blood in the most agonizing moment of his life before the cross. And the Bible tells us there that an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. Third thing, in times of sickness, angels assist us. John chapter 5 talks about a pool called Bethesda. The pool at Bethesda. And the scripture says that at times an angel would stir the waters of this pool and that the first one in would be healed. I don't understand what it's about. I don't understand what it was for. I guess God's going to tell us more about that when that day comes. But the scripture tells us that the first one in was healed from the stirring of the angel in times of sickness. And if you will go back and read the people who share about angels, I believe that many of the stories that people tell about encountering an angel are real. I think a lot of them are made up because they're sensationalized, and you can always tell by what's going on with the angel whether or not it was true or if the person has embellished their story. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But understand this, that most of the time, by far the highest majority of places that angels are seen and reported on, can you guess where? In the hospital, more than any other place, more than any other specific location. The hospital, why? Because of times of sickness, times of despair, times that people are calling out to God for help. Can you think of a place that people actually turn back to the Lord more often than in a tragic situation in the hospital? Folks, and that is the most cited place for angel sightings, if you will. But the scripture says that angels are there to help in times of sickness. Also, the scripture tells us that they are there in times of despair. And in those times of despair, angels encourage us. You remember when Sarah forced Hagar out of her home? She had nowhere to go. And she went out into the desert. There was no place to go. She finally found in that desert a spring, and she had nowhere to go to get care. She had left the protective care of Sarah and Abram's home, and she literally was out to nothing. Genesis chapter 16, verses 10 through 11 tell us that the angel of the Lord found Hagar alone in the desert and full of despair. And he encouraged her with the promise of God. Fifth thing is, we know that angels, that God has dispatched angels in times of danger. And in those times of danger, angels protect us. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. And did you know that in almost every angelic incident recorded in God's word, the angel is sent for a specific duty. And most of the time, that specific duty is to give instruction or to leave a message. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Because the basic meaning of the word angel means what? Messenger. God's messenger. Now, unlike today's desire for angels, the Bible shows angels as they really are, simple messengers of God. They are not glorified. They are not sensationalized. And folks, if that's the case in God's word, neither should we. We can tell of our accounts of things that happened to us, but don't sensationalize them. If the angel calls attention to himself, if the angel calls for worship, if the angel calls to be lifted up and glorified, it is not an angel of God. Because God's word says that their glory goes to God the Father, not to the angel. The Bible doesn't sensationalize them. They are sent by God for God's purpose, and the messenger is never more important than the one who sent him, God the Father. If in your angel story anything else is different from that, it is not an angel from God. If they are saying, listen to me, do what I say to do, go where I say to do, I'm your friend, go with me, talk to me, let me be your friend. Listen, we need to be listening to God and following God's instruction. And then if God does give a message, he gives it and they're gone. Because you see, they're about delivering a message and then going on their way. These closing thoughts. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that guardian angels are not for everybody. How is that and why is that? They're God's emissaries, so they're for God's people. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 tells us that guardian angels could be anybody. They're not for everybody, and they could be anybody. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13. He says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So you may say, Pastor, I've never seen an angel. Maybe you have. Have you taken care of someone? Listen, there are some neat books out there, and I'll see if I can't share. I'm trying to get a copy of one. I'll try to get it to you and put it in the library. But there are some neat books out there, and there are some stories in there about people who met strangers and took care of people and how later on that person was just gone. There is a story about a lady by the name of Eufy Elinardo, I hope I pronounced that right, and it appeared in Guidepost some years back. But she had arrived in Los Angeles for a job interview, and she had gotten there about 5 hours before her interview time, and though it was dark, she decided to explore. So she left the bus station where she had bussed in, and she very quickly got lost in a Skid Row neighborhood. And here is her account. I just want to read it to you rather than trying to account it to you. Let me just read it to you. She got lost in that Skid Row neighborhood. She was lost and she was afraid. She said, hearing a car pass, I turned and in the flash of light, I saw three men lurking behind me. They were trying to keep out of sight in the shadows. Trembling with fright, I did what I always do when I need help. I bowed my head and asked God to rescue me. But when I looked up, a fourth man was striding toward me in the dark. Dear God, I cried, I'm surrounded. I was so scared it took me a few seconds to realize that even in the blackness, I could see this man. He was dressed in an immaculate work shirt and denim pants. He carried a lunchbox. He was about 30 and well over 6 feet. His face was stern but beautiful. That's the only word I can describe it as, beautiful. She ran to him and explained her situation. Come, he said, I will take you to safety. He was strong and he made me feel so safe. She looked at him again and said, I don't know what would have happened to me if you had not come along, I said. I do, his voice said with a deep, resonant ring. She looked at him again and said, I prayed for help just before you came. A smile touched his face and his eyes, and we were nearing the depot. You're safe now, he said. And he nodded, goodbye, Eufy. Going into the lobby, it hit me, Eufy. He used my first name. I never told him my name. I whirled and burst back onto the sidewalk, but he had vanished. He was gone. Do you wonder that I thought that the fourth man was God's angel sent into my life? Folks, I'm going to tell you, that is the type of situation that God might send an angel, a believer who prayed and called on God for help and rescue. And as you recall, through that prayer, they delivered. They were not sensationalized. They answered prayer. God's messengers are just that way. How many times have we entertained angels unaware? Have we been saved? Have we been rescued? Have we been looked out for? Have we been covered? Have we been directed? Have we been guided? I don't know. But I do know this. If you do not believe in God's angels, you've lost something of God. You've lost what God has given you. He said that he sends his angels to tend to those and to care for those who are believers. I, for one, folks, I'm a believer in the Lord God. And if God said it, that settles it. I take home with me a peace to know that if God wants to put one angel at my side, he is welcome. But if he wants to put a million around me, I'm going to take that too. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your provision for us. You do so much for us every day. We are so thankful that in your wisdom, you provide our needs even before we know that we have a need. And yet, Father, your word says to ask. So, Lord, according to your word, we receive and we are thankful for your provision for us, our daily bread, a roof over our heads, the health that we so take for granted, the blessings of peace of our heart. And Lord, we are thankful for the way that you cover us with your providing angels. God, would you help us to always realize that they are an extension of your care. So we turn to you and ask you, Lord God, bless us with your provision in the way you see fit and how you see fit in all ways. And all God's people said, amen.